Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome the management team of Monte Carlo Limited and thank them for this opportunity. I shall now hand over the call to the management team for their opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Very good morning to everyone joining us today on this call. We are pleased to welcome you all to this earning call of Monte Carlo Fashions Limited to discuss the financial and the operating performance for the fourth quarter and the financial year ended 2021. I hope all of you are safe and healthy and at your homes during the second wave of COVID-19. The result presentation has been uploaded on the exchanges and I hope everyone had an opportunity to look at it. Before taking you all through the financial highlights for the year, let me first take you through our business and operating performance during the year. Monte Carlo is a well-known brand having a basket of diversified products which includes woolen cotton kits, home furnishing. Under cotton segment, apart from jackets, we also have t-shirts, shirts, denims, trousers, suits and different other garments. We also produce cotton and cotton blended t-shirts in our economy category under the brand Clock and Decker. The diversified strategy of the company helps in catering to various apparel demands for various seasons. Company has a presence across India through various distribution channels and recently have noticed huge demand coming from our online channels. For financial 21, our sales through online channels has increased to 37.2 crore against 24.1 crore in financial 20, which is now around constitutes 6% of the total revenues. With regard to online sales, we are looking to focus more on selling through our own portals, but our products are also available under various e-commerce websites such as Amazon, Flipkart, Myntra, Zabong and Capsons. I'm happy to share that even during the tough times of COVID pandemic, we were able to open 28 new stores in different regions and at the same time we even closed few non-performing stores. So as on date, we have 298 stores in various states and union territories of India. We continue to enjoy a comfortable net cash position and our medium-term liquidity needs are well covered. With adequate banking limits in place, company's ability to service debts and financial obligations on time remains unaffected. Monte Carlo has zero reliance on exports and has a presence in domestic market across India with the extensive distribution network. Good credit terms with our suppliers help us operate the business smoothly. No major capex is planned for the next 2 years. Therefore, the positive operational leverage is expected as the production gains scale. Now, let me give you some insights on the financial performance for the year, followed by the quarter performance. Despite COVID-led disruptions during the financial 21, the company reported revenues of 622 crore as against 725 crore in financial 20. The gross margin stood at 46.8% in financial 21 as against 47.2% in financial 20. EBITDA for financial 21 stood at 115.6 crore against 124.4 crore in financial 20. And PAT for the year stood at 66.3 crore as against 62.7 crore in financial 20. The Q4 financial 21 revenues stood at 108 crore against 109.5 crore in Q4 financial 20. Gross margin stood at 48.1% in Q4 financial 21 as against 46% in Q4 financial 20. On the balance sheet front, we have a cash balance of 228 crore which comprises of cash and bank balances along with current and non-current investments. Long-term borrowing for financial 21 is 11.7 crore compared to 16.3 crore in financial 20, which shows our efficiency in servicing debt. Debt to equity ratio is 0.05x for financial 21. ROCE and the cash adjusted ROCE is 17% and 21% for the year. So lastly, I would like to inform you that the board of directors of the company have recommended to pay a dividend of 15 rupees per share, that is 150% on face value of 10 rupees per share, as our endeavor is always to create value for our shareholders and stakeholders. So if any of you have any queries post this earning call, you may connect us or Dickinson World, our investor relations agency. So we can now open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Deepan Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity and good morning, everyone. Firstly, want to understand this cotton segment summer sales got impacted last year also due to pandemic. So what is our expectation for the current year? Are we impacted worse than even last year?
Good morning, Mr. Deepan.
Good morning, sir.
See, cotton sales, as you all know, that the last year we were badly affected and there were disruptions from March 23rd till approximately end of May. But fortunately, this year the disruptions have started in mid-April. So definitely the sales as compared to last year are better in summers, and we'll see that the first quarter sales are also better as compared to last year summers. But we have near-term uncertainties because of that. Most of our stores are closed right now, but we hope that by June 1st week we should have opening of our EBOs and MBOs and also our LFS stores. So right now it is online sales which is happening, but we are optimistic that we have some openings and easing of restrictions from 1st June onwards, and that may improve the sales as compared to last year.
So what will be our full year guidance for this year?
See, it's very early to say about the full year guidance. We would like to give our full year guidance in the next quarter's earning conference call. But definitely we are optimistic as compared to last year, because disruptions as far as productions are concerned, it's not affected at all. Last year we had a disruption in our production from March till almost mid of June. So that has not happened. So our main season basically is winter. As we all know that we have a significant revenue which comes from the winter quarter. So disruptions of productions has not affected. So that may improve the sales going forward if things becomes normal.
Okay. Sir, particularly Q4 quarter, we have seen the kids segment has got impacted heavily. Any particular reason, 30% kind of fall in top line?
Kids segment?
Yes.
See, basically, if we compare the last year sales of kids and this year summer sales, it has actually grown by around 30%. But the problem is that it's not reflecting in this quarter, as supplies have happened basically in first week of April. So that is not being counted in the summer sales. So otherwise, it has grown as compared to last year.
Okay. So lastly, on the capital allocation front, so we have cash of around 228 crores, so which is almost 43% of our market capitalization. So any major plan for buyback or giving return back to shareholders, which will improve even valuations and return ratios of the company?
See, I think these things being discussed in the board also, but we don't have any information right now. I think the company has given the best dividend till date, till its inception. It is 150%, that is 15 rupees per share, and which is basically to benefit our shareholders.
Yes, sir, but still we are accumulating more cash every year, and cash is getting increased, and this is impacting our return ratios. And if we reward the shareholders well, the valuations also will improve for Monte Carlo.
Yeah, I understand your concern. Even this is a concern for us also, that our cash level is actually rising. But in this particular year, our intention was to survive basically this pandemic. And definitely the company has some plans which are on hold. So I cannot discuss anything as of now without discussing in the board.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Zaki Masar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. And I think I would need to congratulate the management on a resilient set of numbers for the fourth quarter and the full year, despite the pandemic. Mr. Jain, You slightly mentioned about how this time around is different from last year. Could you just elaborate on this point? And I just want to know, you are confident that the company will do slightly better than last year, provided stores open in June. So where does your confidence come from, sir? Because there's kind of a weird lockdown in different parts of the country, different rules, regulation, region-wise. So I would like to have your thoughts on this, sir. And that's it, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Zakir. And first of all, there are two reasons for having us more confident as compared to last year. Last year, when this pandemic happened, we were just, you know, sitting in dark. We were unaware of all the implications which can happen in the future. But this year, as of now, at least I think we are more prepared to tackle this as compared to last year. And secondly, we have a vaccination program which is already going on, which is definitely helping us as far as this COVID is concerned. And thirdly, the major reason which I think was, which was not last year, but we are basically benefiting this year. Last year, all our labor had gone in March itself. So we had a major disruption which is happening from March till mid of June, so which is not there in this year. And one of the biggest reason which is making us confident is that there are very low level of stocks, winter stocks, which is lying at our retail stores and also at our multi-brand outlets. So that has helped us to have a more booking as compared to last year, which is still going on. So that gives us the confidence, and definitely we'll have a very good second and third quarter. Yes, there are near-term uncertainties because of COVID, but we are hopeful that as the number of cases are going down every day, so we are seeing that from 4 lakh, we have come down to 2.8 lakh. And also, there have been restrictions which is controlling the number of cases. And vaccination is also going on, so that makes us more optimistic as compared to last year that we'll have a very good second quarter and third quarter.
So you already have got a feel by the winter booking, sir?
Yeah, already the winter booking which is happening around at various places, actually more as compared to last year. So that gives us the confidence that our sales will be better than the last year.
Okay. And I would also like to congratulate the management on increasing its stake to nearing 75%, sir. I think that's it. If there's something, I'll come back in that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from CCIPL. Please go ahead.
Sir, first of all, I want to thank you for the very generous dividend, sir, but you would appreciate that, sir, now dividends are taxed at 43%. And sir, whereas for a buyback, only 23% tax company has to pay, rest shareholders have to pay no tax. And then moreover, sir, as you know that our EBITDA is flat since 2015, sir, so in that case, until we reduce the number of shares outstanding through a buyback, sir, then how will our EPS increase? And then, sir, share price will also ultimately follow the EPS. So maybe for the future, sir, you can give preference to share buyback over dividend. Sir, that was as far as this issue was concerned. Sir, now, sir, main issue is, sir, that sir, I am seeing in your presentation that, sir, you are selling summer wear also under Monte Carlo, whereas even though you have half a dozen brands, sir, so then what is the need, sir? Because it is totally contradictory. Sir, how can you sell summer wear in your established winter wear brand?
Very strange question this has come from you. Basically, the summer wear, we are not selling from, this year. We are selling from 2000. So it's almost 20 years we are selling this summer wear along with the winter wear. And that is why we have been able to open around 300 outlets across India, which shows that the brand has a strength in summer as well as winter wear. And secondly, our summer wear is growing almost high double digit from last so many years, and it is now contributing almost more than 50% of our sales. So that shows the strength of the brand in summers as well as it's helping us in winter also to strengthen our existing sales. So secondly, your second question was on buybacks. The company is not ruling buyback in the future, but right now the board has decided it's more prudent to give a dividend at this point of time. But the company is not saying that it might not go for buyback in the future. It all depends on the circumstances. It all depends on the at that time the profitability, what kind of profitability we have, and what kind of share prices we have at that particular point of year. So I think this year company has decided to give a liberal dividend, which is highest till date from last, I think, 7 years since 2014 the company went public. The highest dividend which was given was 120%. So even we faced this year a lot of difficulties, a pandemic, a COVID, but then also we went ahead and have the best margins as compared to last year, and also gave the dividend of 15 rupees for our to benefit our shareholders.
Sir, so you will see that, sir, even though now woolen is contributing to around 28% of our turnover, sir, but all our profit is coming in the third quarter only. I mean, in the December quarter. So basically, if the main profit earner is the winter wear, then, sir, I mean, okay, we are getting sales from all our other business, and it is also eroding our brand value. So I don't think there is any gain in that, just making turnover without any margins.
It's not the case. We do have a profit in fourth quarter also, but we have a very heavy EOSS which comes from the winter sales in the fourth quarter. So that actually reduces the profit of the summer wear sales at that point of time. And please see us as a, you know, on annual basis. Please don't see it as a quarterly basis. If you see the last year, we have said that at that point of time when the COVID started, that our company might degrow at 20-25%. But actually, if you compare us, we have degrown only by 15%. And if you see other companies who are in apparels have actually degrown by 20-25%. I'm talking about the pure apparel companies, not about the briefs and vest companies. So according, if you compare us to all the apparel companies which are right now listed, we have actually performed the best as far as this year is concerned. So please see us that key, leave us as on annual basis rather than on quarterly basis. And we are very confident that we'll have a very good double-digit growth going forward in next two financial year also.
Okay, sir. So that is great to hear. And sir, so will that also increase our EBITDA also?
See, I cannot say anything at this point of time because we are passing through a difficult period. So giving any projection is at this point of time might not be prudent on my side. But definitely, once we reach the second quarter, we'll be able to give more accurate guidance.
Okay, sir. So thank you very much. I'll rejoin the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyush Chheda from Serendip. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on doing well in an extremely challenging year. I think part of my question has been asked before, but I basically wanted to understand what's the path for the cotton business, the summer wear business, to move towards profitability. Otherwise, you know, the bulk of our profits tend to come from one quarter within the year. Is there a map 3 years, 2 years out when we can say that no more than half the profits would come from the third quarter?
The cotton business is already profitable, and it is actually even 100 basis points more profitable than the woolen business. So I'm not aware that how this question is coming that the cotton business is not profitable. But the thing is that the major sales, even of cotton segment, also happens in the wedding season, which happens normally in October, November, December. So we have a major sale of cotton wear, which is happening in third quarter as well. It's not that only the winter wear which sells in the third quarter. It's the cotton segment also a lot which sells in the third quarter. And secondly, definitely we have a very good sales in the second quarter as well, and which is a profitable. If you see the last few years' balance sheet,
sure,
the second quarter has always been profitable from last so many years. It's only the fourth quarter, which is traditionally a very weak quarter for us, and where we have a major chunk of our winter sales which going to EOSS. So that particular fourth quarter, we have to give a lot of discounts to, in the end of season sales, which actually reduce the profitability of the summer wear as well at that point of time. Otherwise, summer wear is always profitable since inception.
I see. But we should expect that this concentration of the profits in the second and third quarters will continue. That may not change.
I think the going forward, we'll have more profits in second quarter as well as even in the first quarter as well. But last year, it was affected because of COVID. Otherwise, we used to have a positive quarter for the first and second quarter as well.
Second and third quarter contains even the quarter goals.
Okay.
Quarter sales.
Great. And like a lot of the other people on the call, would urge you to take some look again at capital allocation. I think the dividend is a great beginning, but given the amount that we have, of cash that we have on the balance sheet, it may not be the best use that we are putting it to. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you. As you are saying the dividend, now, hello?
Yes, please, go ahead.
I am saying it is one of the best use for the company's money. In any case, like, you know, so far the buyback is concerned, it does not ensure a better return to the any shareholder. Now you assume this, the company cannot buy back say 50% of the shareholding of anyone. Say last time also we did only, how much percentage was it?
5%.
Now suppose you are holding 100 shares, and even if I buy back at say 450 rupees, your share, only 5 shares will be bought back. And what will you get? And now you calculate that on 100 share you are getting 150% dividend from the company. Only thing is this, yes, buyback money when you get, it is tax-free. And when you get the dividend, it is taxable.
So, sir, I mean, honestly speaking, if you were to give a special dividend or something like that, I as a shareholder would be equally comfortable as a buyback.
Let me just tell you, because, you know, so far the company is concerned, company has to make shareholder very happy, that company has to grow. And in that way, the company's main efforts would be to reducing its tax liability also. Now the taxability is Government of India's work. Now they have, earlier company was paying dividend tax. Now they have removed from the company, now the shareholders are paying. Those people who do not have the wealth up to, or the income, regular income, up to that total tax exemption, they may not pay. And the tax rate may come down to even 20%, 10% in their case. So it is basically tax liability. But otherwise, if you see in terms of money, in terms of the reward, then in that case, I think the higher dividend and distributable, as the company is having the dividend policy now, it is going on. It is much better for a shareholder, according to our understanding, than the buyback. It rather gives more money in the hand of shareholder and consistent. And the money remained with the company will also be utilized for the purpose of company growth. Dear friend, anyway, we will definitely, when that question and anything arises like that, the board will consider, and the moment board decides to buy back, we'll come back to you and give you the good news.
Thank you so much. I'll just say one thing again. A special dividend or a buyback, both are the same for me as a shareholder. Whatever tax liability is there should not impact our decision. And either one of the two would be absolutely fine. It's just that too much of the company's
bargain. What I'm saying is the money reaching to in the hand of shareholder will be much higher. In the case of a company declaring a higher dividend and consistently following, there's an upward trend in the dividend. What I'm saying is buying back, now company when it is running a business, company cannot afford to buy back say 50% of the shareholder.
Sure.
Because it will involve increasing of percentage beyond the limit fixed by SEBI.
I appreciate what you're saying. I completely agree with you on that.
Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Mihir Desai from Desai Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, firstly, my question would be on the industry macro front. Sir, what is your view on the PLI scheme which government is planning for garment and how it will be benefiting our company, sir?
Actually, most of our production is outsourced. So basically, we are not going for this scheme, as it's only the woolen side which is being manufactured at our place. In cotton side, it is just 15% of our total production. And we are basically more of a marketing company rather than a production-based company. So most of the products are outsourced in our place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Understood, sir. And sir, the yarn prices which have been increasing, will it be a pass on for us or it will impact our gross margins to some extent?
No, it's already passed on. Whatever yarn prices were there increased, we have increased our prices for the winter products approximately 5 to 6%.
So we have passed on that hike to the product prices.
Okay. So you don't foresee these prices to be on the upper end for coming years, or what is your view, sir, on the yarn prices?
No, yarn prices now actually have come down. It was up around 30-35% in case of cotton, but now it is in downward trend. But when we do the booking, what we do is that we calculate the prices accordingly at that point of time. If the yarn price is up, we normally raise that price, and every brand has raised in this particular time because the raw material price is going up. So we have to include that hike in our prices. Otherwise, our margins will fall. So we have already taken that hike in our product prices.
Okay. Understood. Sir, on our online business, so I just wanted to ask that we have seen a significant or a reasonable growth in our online business. Must be because of the pandemic also. So what is your view going forward, sir, on this business? Do we see this current growth numbers to continue at this line? Or?
With me is Mr. Rishabh, so I want to answer this question.
Hi, good morning. So we've seen that we've grown the online business by around 50% for this financial year. And going forward for the next financial year, we also expect it to grow again by 40-50%, with more focus being on our own portal. So we are foreseeing a growth of 40-50%. So we'll maintain the 6% contribution to the company's turnover going forward for the next year as well.
Okay, understood. And on the marketing front on our online business, so how are we targeting, or can you share us some roadmap on this, on the digital marketing?
So right now for the last financial year, you must have seen the total advertising spend of the companies has come down considerably. The entire amount that you're seeing right now that the company has spent on advertisement is through online channels. So we are advertising on different social medias, different online properties. And this... So this has resulted in a growth of 40% of our own website sales. And this year, with the focus on advertisement and product-based link advertisement, our overall discount percentage in the online segment has also come down.
Sure. So a follow-up question on the same. So if we see the advertisement expenses, during this quarter also we have seen a fall in this advertisement expenses, and FY21 full year also we have seen. So that may be because of the COVID-19 pandemic impact. So going forward, how should we look at this number?
So a large portion of our advertisement budget was going into advertisement through different theaters throughout the country. But since there was a lockdown in the entire country, we pulled back on that budget. And we've seen that the increase in advertisement in the online segment has given us a better return on investment on that. So I think going forward also, we would be focusing more on online advertisement, and we would be targeting a 2-3% share of advertisement on the total revenue.
Okay. So should we consider this number to be like at the level of, say, quarter 4, 21, or a little bit high on that front?
Yeah. No, quarter four is not basically a quarter where we can have the benchmark for advertising expenses. We are talking about the yearly basis. Yearly basis, earlier we used to spend 3-4% of our revenues on advertising, but this year we are keeping it around 2-3%.
2-3%.
Yeah.
Okay. Understood. And lastly, on the personal, like on the employee expenses, so if we see in quarter 4, 21, it has been increased, it has been on an increasing trend. Is it because the utilization levels are coming back, or what is the reason for that? And this number also, sir, must have come down. So how should we look this number for going forward projection in 21, 22 and forward?
Personal cost?
Personal cost, yes, sir.
It has actually come down. If you see that, the percentage is almost same. It was the percentage for full financial year was just a minute. You are talking about quarter four or you are talking about the full
no, sir. Full year would be much, you know, will give more color.
Yeah, the full year percentage was how much it is?
9.59%.
It was last year, and this year it is 9.6%. So it is almost same.
Okay.
Even though the revenue has gone down, so the personal expense have not increased.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, last question. Sorry for too many questions. Sir, last question. For the finance also, currently, sir, our debt levels are at very comfortable level. So, is there any scope of further decreasing in our debt number or finance cost going forward?
Yes, there is definitely a possibility of finance cost going down because our term loan is basically right now is 11 CR, which was 16 CR last year. It's going to go down this year as well. So, definitely the finance cost will come down as compared to last year.
Okay. So, that would be positive on our EPS. Okay, sir, thank you. That's all from my side. If I have some few questions, I'll join back with you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. Sir, sorry I joined late. If it's repetitive, I'm extremely sorry. Sir, how's the inventory in the channel right now at this point of time? And second, which are the segments, whatever your understanding is there right now. So, which are the segments which you believe, like region-wise, if you can throw some light key, where you see the faster recovery going forward, especially on the rural or maybe tier 3, tier 4, because this time tier 3, tier 4 has been deeply hurt. So, what's your outlook on the same, sir?
See, first of all, as far as inventory is concerned, I have talked about earlier also that this season we have the least inventory as far as winter products are concerned at all our outlets and also at the company level. But definitely, the summer inventory is at the peak because we had a lockdown which started almost last month. So I think going forward, if we open up in June, definitely we'll have a liquidation of summer inventories that as well. And you rightly said about that this year the COVID has penetrated into the tier 3, tier 4 and the rural area as well. And definitely we need to see that impact which is going to come up. But I think one thing we are very optimistic is that this time, as far as we are concerned, we didn't have any disruptions in the production. So last year we had to face a lot of problems because of production front as well. So I think that problem is solved. So if going forward we see the speed of vaccination also goes up, and the second quarter, which is coming up in June itself, we are seeing the number of cases going down and the economy is opening up faster as we anticipate. So definitely, I think going forward, second and third quarter would be much better as compared to last financial year.
Sir, one more question if you can add up. Sir, how, do you see any liquidation is there in the Q1? That's what you have said earlier. That is right.
See, it all depends if economy opens up in June first week and we have restrictions easing up. And because right now almost 90% of our showrooms are closed and all the channels are actually not operating at all except online. So if that opens up in June first week, we'll have definitely a good chance to, liquidate the stocks in the June month itself. Some of the stock in June month itself.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. So is there any, sir, just if you want to add, is there any further scope of lowering down some other expenses? Because there we, like the earlier participants also said that other expenses have increased on the QQ. Can we see some saving on that side also?
The other expenses actually have gone down. It's not increased. The percentage is around 16% last year, and this year it is 16.5%. And in the absolute term, it has gone down by around 14 CR. So there is it's almost a same level as compared to last year.
Thank you.
It will remain proportionate to the sales.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Khankar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity to ask the question. My question is about receivables. Now, we have increased the receivables collection day by some 7 days. So is there a possibility that, are these receivables fully collectible? That is the first question. And secondly, our working capital turnover ratio has deteriorated from 2 to 1.38. So So how are we planning to, you know, improve our working capital cycle? Thank you.
The major reason is because of the revenue is going down. So because we calculate the working capital divided by the revenue. So if the revenue is down, definitely the working capital cycle goes up. But going forward, it will come down because the revenue is going to go up as compared to this financial year.
And so the receivables, is there any possibility that...
The number of days will definitely come down because, again, it is proportional to revenues. So if the revenue goes up, the number of days will also go down.
So you think that you are confident that these receivables are fully collectible, right?
100% confident. No doubt about that.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Venkat Subramaniam from Organic Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the question. There is probably no question at all that we will be in the top quartile of efficiency and profitability among apparel players. But we probably are not when it comes to growth. So how do we see ourselves, which is question one? And two, what is your assessment of apparel industry overall, let's say over the next 4 or 5 years in terms of growth rates, etc.? And which segments do you think will grow the fastest?
Thank you very much for your question. I think if we see the last year, if we see around this 6 year, 7 year CAGR, we've grown at around 11.5%. So definitely the growth is not that much, but there have been 2-3 reasons for that why the growth is not like, you know, sounding it great. The one reason was there have been some accounting changes in last 3-4 years. Earlier we used to have our fabric sales included in the sales, which we reduced it, I think, in around 2016. Then there was another change in the accounting system that we used to have the selling the discounts considered as expense, which we now actually minus from our sales. So that has also, like, our revenue have gone down. So, but otherwise, like, now all the accounting angles have been now, like, are over. So if we compare last year, I think most of the brands have degrown by 20-25%, but we have degrown only by around 15%. But we are very optimistic and confident about the future. And we think that the higher double-digit growth is very much possible on this base. And even on 2019 level also, we'll definitely like to grow. But again, there are some near-term uncertainties because of the COVID. Nobody has ever anticipated that we'll have a very risky and very severe COVID wave, which has struck us in the month of April. So there are some near-term challenges, which I think we have been able to, like, tackle it. And I'm confident that if we talk about next 4 to 5 years, we are confident that Indian economy is going to grow around 9% in this financial year and again 7-8% in the financial 23, financial 24, as recommended by our economic survey. So that shows that we can definitely double outperform the economic rate by double the rate. If Indian economy is growing at 9-10%, we can easily grow around 20%. So that is our prediction from our end. So going forward, I think double-digit growth is definitely on the cards, and we are working on that on various categories and also on the various businesses as well.
Then there is no, I don't think anybody will have any doubt that we probably manage the tightest ship among the apparel, within the apparel industry, or within the top quartile for sure. My question was really limited to, what is a broad outlook for apparel industry, which you say is probably growing at maybe close to double the normal nominal GDP growth. But which segments out of it do you think will outgrow, and what is going to be our positioning for what can grow more than broad market?
See, as far as Technopack survey is concerned, they have clearly, like, said in the last report, the Indian economy, Indian apparel industry is going to grow from 9-10%. So that is as per their survey. And out of that, the kids is one segment which they said would grow faster than the ladies and men's category. So I think similarly, in our case also, we see that the kids is growing faster as compared to men's and ladies categories. And we see the men's and ladies category also, as far as our company is concerned, will be growing more than the
apparel industry growth rate, which has been given by Technopec survey. And see, it depends on the consumer sentiments as well. Right now, in this financial year, definitely the consumer sentiments are down, and which is affecting the growth rate of all the, I would say, apparel companies. But going forward, once we are out of this pandemic and out of this problems, I think 15 to 20% growth is definitely on the cards.
Okay. That's good to hear. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dinesh Mistry from Investor First Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, sir. And first of all, congratulations for showing such good numbers during these difficult times. Just a couple of questions from my end. The number one being that if I were to see your channel-wise sales, you know, if I want to just understand how do you plan to grow? So you said you opened 28 new outlets. So are these outlets all on the EBO FOFO model or are they MBOs? That's one question. And number two is that if you were to see again, you know, while for the quarter, you know, contribution from the franchisee-owned, franchisee-operated has fallen from about 31% to 18%. Is it because of closures or are we kind of, you know, culling some non-performing franchise?
See, the first question, the 28 EBOs, they are all in exclusive business outlets. There are additions in SIS, in MBOs, and LFS format also. That is definitely, I'll let you know those figures also. And the second question was, you are talking about the quarter four performance of retail.
Yes, basically if you would see Q4 20, you're saying your revenue breakup channel-wise, 31% came from EBO, FOFO, and that has fallen to about 18%. So that's a substantial one. I think slide number 7.
Okay, you are talking about the quarter four performance.
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, quarter four, it has gone down as compared to last year slightly. In case of channel-wise breakup, the MBOs and NCS had contributed 46% in this financial year, which was 42% last year, so it has increased. And EBO POCO is showing a growth of, it has gone down by 1%. It was 20%, which has come down to 19%.
Mm-hmm.
And in EBO FOFO, it was 18%, 31% last year. It has gone down to 18%.
Correct.
So there have been some disruptions in the summer sales, summer supplies. So again, I would say that this quarter is not reflecting the overall performance of the company. So please see us on an annual basis. Some of the sales getting shifted to another quarter, like in this case, it is shifting to April, May, June quarter. So the figure will be entirely different when we reach to quarter
first quarter. I just want to understand. So we are not. It's not that franchisees are being discontinued or anything. It's just a question.
It's not because of that. Yeah.
All right. And going forward, do we plan to go through the FOFO model or franchisee model?
No, it's franchisee model always because it's an asset-light model. So we believe in asset-light model. And COCO model is only applicable whenever there is a higher rentals or when there are any places which is having a higher visibility for the brand and higher brand awareness, we go for COCO model in that case.
Got it. And how many stalls do we plan to open next year or coming year? Whilst I understand the disruptions and COVID and all that, but or let's say next 2-3 years, how many stalls would be?
See, this financial year, we have planned to open 20 to 25 stores in this financial year.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And sir, just one more question from my end. The online sales, you know, as you correctly pointed out, have really jumped, you know, it's done pretty well. But was this a question of, you know, offering our discounted sales to the online model or is it fully priced sales that we are doing to the online model?
Yeah, just a second. Discount for today. One second. The overall discount percentage for our online chain has come down considerably this year. So
So that shows that our
product. I lost you. You were a bit not
clear. Yeah, sorry. So I was saying that the discount percentage on the online sales has gone down considerably this year. This shows that the products were sold at the MRP and less discounts, rather than 40% to 50% of discounts. Also, just a second. Last year. So on an average, the discount percentage of our online sales is 17.48% this year,
which was higher in last year.
Which was higher by 300 to 400 basis points last year, and we have also started focusing on marketplace model for our online sales, which drives down our cost considerably without tagging our inventory to a particular channel. And we've also started working with players like Amazon, Flipkart, Myntra, working under outright sales, where we sell directly to the channels outright, and there's no discount sharing for the products that are sold online. So that has brought up the profitability of online segment this year as compared to last year, even despite growing 50% on the top line.
Excellent. And just last question from my end, what would be the same store sales growth that we have in our main channels, basically the MBO, NCS, and franchisee, FOFO?
See, this year it has gone down because the overall sales is down. So SSG in this year is actually negative as compared to last year.
Okay. For the full year or for the quarter?
Pardon? Oh, I'm talking about the full financial year. Full financial year.
That is negative. But is it, is it like negative 1-2% or is it like a higher mid-digit kind of?
It is around, I think, around 9-10% negative as compared to last year. But in LFS, it has gone up by 20%. The modern retail, the sales have gone up.
The same store sales has gone up for LFS.
For large format stores, which is modern retail.
Yeah. But otherwise, for the others, it's gone down. We're seeing broadly about 9% degrowth same store sales growth.
Around 10%.
10%. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Sir from CCIPL. Please go ahead.
So as you were saying that your summer sales are also quite profitable, so then when will we make profit in the June quarter, sir? Because that is the real test when there are no winter wear sales.
See, we were making a profit in June quarter. If you see our financial figures of 14 onwards, I think it is on the last year we faced a problem because we were totally washed out quarter and our shops were not open. So that is why we made a loss. Even this financial year also, there are near-term uncertainties because the shops are closed. So can't say much about this quarter, but otherwise, first quarter is always profitable for us.
Sir, but I can see that in June 2019 quarter and June 2018 quarter, we made around 2-3 crore of operating loss, so which is very minor. But so the question still remains that if our cotton sales are so profitable, then why in 2018 and 19 also June quarter we made a loss?
There was reasons for 2018 and 2019. Our sales were less as compared to what we anticipate. But now our sales has actually grown. If you see in this year summer supply, we made almost around 40% more summer supplies primary sales as compared to last year. So that will definitely would have ensured profitability. But now we are facing a pandemic, which is actually put again us on the off track. Otherwise, we would have a first quarter profitability in this financial year as well.
So last year was extremely low base of 11 crore. So 40% growth over that means nothing. I mean, year before that, we made 60 crore in June quarter revenue. And even at that level, we were not making money.
No. I am not talking about 11 crore. I am talking about the overall summer supplies of last year. It was overall summer supply of last year was around 80 CR. And this year, we supplied 120 CR. So it's a jump of almost 50%. I'm not talking about the first quarter financial performance. I'm talking about the overall summer sales as compared to this year, as compared to last year. So that has grown by 50%.
Okay. Sir, and also, sir, out of the many segments that we have got into, kids wear, women wear, sir, so which of these is yet to break even, and are we bleeding in any of these segments?
No, all are breaking even at primary level.
Sir, but don't you think that we are trying to do too much, sir? Denim also, winter wear, summer wear, sir. It's a, such a small company, sir, that even and India is a 17% of world population. Sir, so we don't have to do everything. Kids wear, women wear, denim. We just have to do one thing. And if we become market leader, sir, then our market capitalization will be 10,000 crores.
It's not that we have started this kids wear or ladies wear just in one go. We started with men's wear, and when we got our strength in men's wear, then we ventured out in ladies wear, which also we have grown at a considerable pace. And then just 4 or 5 years back, we started our kids wear range, which this year I think we should be crossing 50 CR. So it's not a small number in kids wear category, and all brands are basically utilizing their strength. If you talk about the United Colors of Benetton, they are in menswear category, womenswear category, and in kids category. You talk about Zara, you talk about H&M, you talk about Uniqlo. It's all brands. They are present in all the categories, in summer as well as winter. So we are not doing anything different. We are just capitalizing on our brand strength, which can generate our sales in various categories.
Sir, your argument is much appreciated, sir, but the fact remains, sir, that Benetton, so the brand itself is for everything. They were doing since the beginning, sir, but our brand, Monte Carlo, sir, if you ask anybody, sir, it people know it only as winter wear, and rest of the our brand, nobody even knows. Sir, so, I mean, you might be pushing those segments, and sir, the good thing is we are not doing manufacturing ourselves, so it's only the working capital that... we are blocking. Sir, but the question remains that, sir, had we been doing only winter wear, sir, then our return ratios would have been far, far superior.
Then how we will run our stores 12 months in a year? If we do only winter wear, how we will open our stores and how will we present in online children's store over the year? So it's not like that. See, we have to stay in one category and then forget about rest of the months. See, we have to grow in all the categories. The good thing is that the company is growing higher double digit in cotton, which is actually increasing its share every year, and it's actually decreasing the dominance in one particular season. Otherwise, the company would stuck in the one season itself.
It's increasing every year, every month.
Sir, but they, in that case, sir, why are EBITDA is stuck since past 6 years, sir? And if you see, if you adjust for inflation, sir, actually our EBITDA is half, sir, because this is nominal number, sir. And 6 years back, 120 crore was not the same value as 120 crore now. So then question answer, you also said that some changes in accounting, so like discounts you were adding in sales, I mean you were expecting expensing out and now you are deducting from sales and etc. So but then in that case, sir, at least the EBITDA should have grown. So until EBITDA doesn't grow, then sir, what's the point of doing sales?
Thanks for asking this question. I would like to have answered in the first instance only. See, basically the challenge in last 5-6 years, once the online sales have started, the modern retails have started, the more of the multinational brands and other brands have come up in India, it was to maintain the EBITDA, not to grow the EBITDA. Because the discount season is actually growing every year. The discount months are actually expanded. It used to be only 1 month at one point of time. Now it has gone to around 2.5 months in one particular season. So when there is a discount is applicable on all the categories, all brands have started discounts, so it is challenging to maintain the EBITDA. If you compare the EBITDA of all the apparel companies which are right now competing with us, they are playing in single digit EBITDA. If you talk about Arvind brands, if you talk about Madura brands, if you talk about other brands which are listed company, they are having single digit EBITDA. We are still able to maintain around 16% to 17% or 18% EBITDA from last 5-6 years, despite the competition has come from multinational companies like even Uniqlo has come, Zara has come. In last 5-6 years, many brands have come. But still, it's not that our EBITDA has gone down to single-digit level. We are still able to maintain it. So why we are able to maintain it? Because we're still focusing on the profitability as well as the growth front. Otherwise, most of the other companies, if I talk about 10 out of 9 companies are having single-digit EBITDA right now in apparels.
Thank you. I would request Mr. Kar to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the question. Sir, you alluded to this, but just wanted to understand in a bit more detail about our arrangements with online retailers across both the B2B channels like Myntra as well as B2C marketplace model. I guess we pay commissions plus some sharing of discounts. So can you throw some light on this?
Yes. Hi. So there are three different models under which we work with our online partners. The first is the outright sale, where we sell our products directly to them and there's no discount sharing from our side. The second is the SOR model, where our products are placed in their warehouses and they sell it and there is 100% sharing of discounts with them. The last and the format which we are preferring these days is the marketplace model, where the products are kept in one central warehouse, which is our company's warehouse, and the same inventory is shown in all the other channels. Here also, a discount is given by the company itself. However, during EOSS, there are a couple of periods where the channel partners add on their own discount, which is borne by them. So at any given point of time, the discount sharing between the online channels and our EBOs or our national chain stores is the same. Any additional discount is given up by the channel partners. So right now, our focus is towards the marketplace and the outright sale models.
So in the SOR, you indicated 100% sharing of discount. So if suppose the discount is 100 rupees and 50 is borne by the the online partner and 50 is borne by Monte Carlo.
No. The entire 100 rupees is borne by us.
Okay. And how are the gross margins and EBITDA margins from online channel compared to other channels?
So we haven't calculated the EBITDA and the gross margin specific for the online channel. But I can give you an idea by the net realized value that we calculate for each channel. So net realized value is nothing but the percentage that we realize from the MRP after discount, after any commissions or margins or any returns. So for online, we have a net NRV for this financial year is 48.25% of MRP, which was 46.7% last year. So the net realized value has grown by 2% for our online channel.
This includes the commission as well?
Yeah, this includes the discount, margin, commission, and any handling charges which we pay to our warehouse. So just to give an idea, this year it was 48.25%, last year it was 46.78%, and the year before that it was 43.8%. So we've increased our realized value by around 500 basis points in the past 2 years.
Okay, and this minus the cost of goods would be the EBITDA margins then?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Zaki Masad, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
I just needed you to clarify one point, sir. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Sir, there are two questions which indicated or maybe wrongly said that Monte Carlo doesn't manufacture or anything on its own, but I think the company has a substantial percentage of manufacturing on its books. Sir. So could you just clarify this point, sir? Thank you.
No. I said that in woolens we have 100% in-house production, but in case of cotton it is just 15%. The rest of the things are outsourced. So in t-shirts definitely we do around 20-30%, but in case of jackets, trousers, shirts, and all other categories are outsourced.
Thank you, sir. But woolen, we have 100% manufacturing.
Woolen, 100% we are manufacturing in-house.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for participating in this conference call. And if you have any questions, any query which is not answered or it's not clarified, please talk to our investor relations agency, Dickinson, and you're all most welcome to mail to our CFO as well as to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of